Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
Not a test. This is rock and roll. Time to rocket from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh my God, it's early.
I had to switch songs there. Joining me now is the man, the myth, the legend from the bright side of the road, self-exiled forever, self-quarantined.
Pretty much.
self-quarantined, not self-exiled. Kim Holmes. Kim, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm feeling great. We're cooking every day and have our big meal in the middle of the day. Just watching a little TV, reading some book, some sloppy murder mysteries, trash novels.
Really?
That I get into once in a while. That's about it. That's about it.
So fighting the fight like everybody else. I mean, you know, this would not impact my life at all if there were still sports on TV.
Yeah. Well, if there were sports on TVs, yeah. I'd never leave anyway. Come on. That's the hardest part for all of us, I think, that like sports to handle is the fact that there's only reruns or highlight games.
Yeah, I mean, in a normal year, right, it's the only day of the year, I think, that there's no, like, live sports on TV is the day after the Major League Baseball All-Star Game.
That's right.
Baseball takes a holiday, and nothing, you know, football's not going on then, blah, 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 blah. And so there's no sports.
Yep.
And you're like, geez. Now, there might be like the XFL or some other craziness like that, but we don't actually count that. So, but now it's like there's no sports at all. You're seeing like Peyton Manning, you know, on ESPN calling into a class at the University of Tennessee. That's like news in the world of sports.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Or J-Lo and A-Rod taking batting practice is sports now on ESPN.
Stop it.
Yeah, no.
Really?
J-Lo, man, she's a player.
Yeah, I'd watch J-Lo take batting practice any day.
Well, that's what was going on.
I'm sure she is appropriately dressed.
She's
J-Lo baseball.
if you hear her talk about playing, she was a shortstop or an infielder when she played softball for her high school in the Bronx. Yeah, so anyway.
Isn't she a part owner of the Dolphins?
I don't know. No, is she?
I think, or maybe it's the baseball team. I'm not sure, but they have something to do with one of the sports teams in Miami.
Now, I want to ask you a question about. So, I've been looking because I'm like not very wheat tolerant, and I've been looking for, but I can't find any. First of all, to all you assholes that rated all the pasta, fuck you guys. Okay. Like, what is your problem? What are you going to do with all that pasta? Okay?
Yeah.
So, I hope you choke on it. But there are things what are the different things pasta is made out of? That it, like vegetables, like chickpea pasta. I mean, there's different things.
Chickpea. peas. There's, I mentioned this the other day, that they do stuff with cauliflower, any kind of vegetables, make pizza crust, for God's sakes, with cauliflower.
Yeah.
And for those of you who hoard the gluten-free pastas,
you fuckers,
I hope you choke on it.
Yeah, I hope your toilet clogs.
That's shame on you. Yeah. It's like
dicks.
We're in for the long haul for sure, but so is everybody else, for gosh sakes.
One team, one fight, man. Take what you need and take your fat ass home.
That's right, and improvise.
I went to the store yesterday.
Yes.
Right. And I was looking for pasta, but not made out of wheat, right? So other forms of pasta. So I get there and Borelli, which is a big pasta making company, right? Blue packages.
Out of Italy.
Yeah, I see vegetarian on the front. So, because I'm smart, I flip over and I read the label. This product is 25% made out of, and it listed whatever. I said, wait a minute, you can't put vegetarian, and the word vegetarian's like has a green background, right? So, and it's 75% wheat. So I looked at it. I'm like, okay, I can't take this. This is not what I'm looking for. And so then I thought, you know what? Screw it. I mean, I've got cauliflower at home, and I've got broccoli at home. So I came home, and I said, I'm just going to dump the marinara sauce with Italian sausage over the vegetable.
Good call, Mac.
And I did
that. That's exactly what you should have done.
I did it, and it was – I thought, well, I don't need pasta. Like, what the hell? And so – and I'll do it over cauliflower tonight. And improvisation. But I was just wondering, are there any straight up recipes, or is there any way that you would cook either the broccoli or the? Because what I just did was I steamed the broccoli and I dumped the marinara sauce over the top of it. Is there any advice you would give me relative to that kind of white trash recipe?
I would do. We were just talking about cauliflower, and I would cut it in flourlets, you know, like you do the broccoli. So they're chunks, they're bigger chunks, but they're like big flowers.
Right.
Put some olive oil, some salt, pepper, garlic, Parmesan cheese on it, and turn your oven to 375. And bake it for half an hour or 45 minutes. You'll take a paring knife and stick it into the biggest flour. And if it goes in easy, it's done. And you pull them out. You let them rest a little bit. And that gives it a whole new flavor profile.
Okay,
for
so wait,
putting
wait.
Your sauces on.
Let's go through the seasoning of the cauliflower. And we're baking it now. No, we're steaming it still, right?
Well, no, we're going to bake it.
Okay.
You have already said steam it, and that's what you did with your broccoli last night.
Yeah.
I'm telling you to bake your cauliflower tonight, and you cut them into pieces, little flowers.
Got it.
Not little. I don't mean little.
Well, I do. I do because
they break apart naturally, pretty much.
But
you take the core of the cauliflower out, and you might have to cut it in half down the middle, and then start breaking pieces off, or cutting them in sections, slices at least a half an inch thick to an inch thick, and then you have a big bowl. And you take some about tablespoon to 2 tablespoons of olive oil, and you toss that with salt and pepper and grated Parmesan cheese. And don't use the Parmesan cheese out of the green carton. actually grate Parmesan cheese. You buy it at the grocery store. It doesn't matter if it's domestic or import. You grate or dice garlic up, however you like it. Beth and I like to take one of those microplanes, you know, the real fine grater, and rub your garlic, and you just grate it. And then you get grate it and mix it in. Toss it all together, and then lay. If you want to do any other herb that you like,
right?
You can buy dry Italian seasoning in these little jars, and sprinkle some of that on. Okay. Toss it all together, lay it out on a sheet pan with a piece of parchment paper on the bottom. So if anything gets, you don't want them sticking to the pan. We're all about doing parchment paper or foil and having a clean pan that you just have to wash with soap and water, not scrub for a half an hour. Okay?
Yeah, no shit.
And then you bake it at 350, 375 for 30 minutes to 45 minutes until it's done. Paring knife goes in the biggest piece easily, and there you have it. And then you can mix it with serve it with sausage.
So that's it. I would use that as the bed, and then
yes.
with marinara put sauce the over sausage. The top of it. Okay, so I want to talk to you about making a meatball.
Okay, good call.
I like Italian sausage.
Yes, you do.
What do I do to make an Italian sausage meatball? Do I just make balls and fry it and then, eat them when I
No,
do?
No. What I would do, Mac, is I personally like to take sweet Italian sausage and hot Italian sausage and mix them together. And usually if you go to the butcher store and they just have ground pork, you can add your own peppers and seasoning and mix it yourself. Or you go to your butcher shop and you'll have in tubes, sweet Italian and hot Italian. You take the sausage out of the tube, the casing it's in,
right.
And you mix them both together. And then I like to add ground beef. And the dominant flavor will be your sausage, but the ground beef will spread it out so you can make more meatballs, because meatballs freeze real well, and then you've got a dinner in the freezer. But the dominant flavor will definitely be sausage, and you do like 2-to-1. Say you take a package of sweet Italian sausage, hot Italian sausage, and then an equal weight of one of those packages, like maybe a pound of ground beef. So you'll have 3 pounds of meat there, and you'll mix it up, and and all you're doing is the meat will be a filler. Now, I would take some dried pieces of Wonder Bread or any kind of French bread, whatever you have, tear them up the night before, sit them on the counter, and let them dry out. Now, before I mix my meatballs, I will take a cup of milk and pour it over the breadcrumbs and mix them all together and make kind of a mush. Now, that helps bind the meatballs, keeps them together, and also adds moisture and makes them much tenderer juicier meatball. And we all like our juicy meatballs. And then And then there you I roll them out about no bigger than 2 inches across. That to me is the perfect size meatball, because you can do straight meatballs. You can make a meatball sub with them. You can make spaghetti and meatballs. It whatever. But about a 2 inch size. Now you can take those meatballs. You can drop them into boiling water and cook them, and they'll sink to the bottom. And when they pop to the top, they're done. That means you've cooked a lot of the fat out and stuff.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Say that again. But cooking the meatballs, aren't you baking them?
I'm going to get to that, man.
Okay.
I'm giving you an option.
All right.
We're talking options here.
All right, bro.
That was my favorite way, and your favorite way is to roast, to bake your meatballs at 350, 375, and for 45 minutes, maybe longer. You don't want to overbake the meatballs because you will dry them out. And that, how I figure it out, is I, at a half an hour, I'll pull them out, look at them, kind of touch them, give them the thumb test, and see how soft they are. And if they're too soft, I put them in for another 20 minutes. So about 45 minutes, that's when, to an hour, that's how long they take. Now, if you pull those meatballs out and you let them cool on the top of your oven to cool a little bit. Now, if you want a very flavorful meatball for spaghetti, for meat sauce, or spaghetti and meatball sauce, or sub sauce, you drop the meatballs right into the sauce and cook them for about 20 minutes. So the meatballs, while they're still hot, suck up the flavor of the sauce. And that permeates the meatballs. And then you have probably the perfect meatball that you and I would say. Because that's how I would do it. But if you just want straight meatballs and let them cool and then add your sauce later to whatever dish you're making, that works also.
Got it. What about so you cook them all that way, right? And then so,
I do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So now you're going to heat some of them. You're not a microwave guy. Right, so you're gonna eat. Let's say you're gonna eat two. You're gonna heat two of them for you and Beth to have for lunch. How do you do that?
No, I would. Are you gonna have sauce or just straight meatballs?
What are we barbarians?
I would take a half a dozen meatballs because I can't eat just one meatball.
Sorry.
Or two meatballs. I need at least three meatballs, and. If they're 2-inch meatballs, that's perfect for me. Not too much and not too little. Just right. And I would take a saucepan and I would put some marinara sauce in there and heat them up that way. And then, but if you're in a hurry, you put the meatballs in the sauce in a microwave proof dish and heat them up for 3 minutes, and that'll heat the meatball all the way through, and the sauce will be nice and hot, and it won't hurt the texture of the meatball if it's only 3 minutes. So yes, I do it both ways.
Got it. Okay. And but there is a secret if you're gonna heat them, and that is not to scorch them, right? It's to underheat them and then let them sit and let the heat kind of spread
let
through it.
Let the heat finish cooking.
Right.
Yes.
Got it.
And everybody remember, when you cook a piece of meat or a piece of fish, when you pull it out of the oven, the heat, the cold draws the heat from the outside in and cooks the center. And that's what Mike is talking about.
Mike? Who's
okay.
that? You mean Mac?
Mac. I meant Mac. I didn't know who you were. I don't know Mike. I know Mac.
No, you say Mike and people are like, what? Who?
I lost my head.
I know. It happens. Here's an email. Mac, does the chef have a favorite kind of non-wheat pasta? Do you have a favorite in the non-wheat pasta genre?
I do not. My wife, I'm an old school pasta guy.
Right.
And my favorite way is to just to make my own pasta. But I don't do that because I don't have a restaurant anymore. But I will buy any kind of pasta. I don't know the brand of gluten-free pasta. Let me just check for a minute and see what Beth has. And she's a gluten-free person. And I'll see what she has up in the cupboard here, which could be quite helpful. Pasta, where in the fuck are you? Here we are. Okay. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. I do tagliatelle is an egg pasta.
Yes.
My wife, what does she do? Jeez, that's a lot of that shit. Here we go. She does a brown riced pasta. It's fettuccine style. And it's gluten free and good texture, not mushy. And it's called Tinkiata.
Tinkiata?
And it's Tinkiata, and it's gluten free. And then she's got another one. She just came out. It's also by Tinkiata, and it's penne. We all love penne. That's the little tubes, and they're gluten-free, and that's a whole wheat brown rice pasta. It's not whole wheat. It's just brown rice pasta.
Yeah, thank you. Brown rice pasta. Ooh.
Brown rice pasta, and I have had it, and I will say and defend Beth to the death. It works.
It works?
It works very well.
Wow. And, right. There you have it. There you have the testimony right there.
Yep. Oh, okay. Yeah, she...
what the hell is going
on? God bless her. My wife became a gluten-free person.
Are you lifting weights? What are you doing?
I'm putting everything back in the cupboard.
Oh, okay.
And walking back over.
Right.
That's the extent of my weightlifting. It's to lift
those packages.
Packages of pasta into the cupboard and down to the counter.
Well, she has you trained very well because it didn't.
I think I pulled. Pull the muscle.
Let's hope not. All right, now we're going to talk about Sloppy Joe's, right? I have some pictures that Miss B sent me.
Yes,
her sloppy, her Sloppy Joe concoction, and oh my god, right? Oh my god,
right?
The and I'll put them up on the read board here in a second, but and you got to read, you know, left to right. Okay. And there's two in the image. There's two. There's four images that Beth sent me. And and it starts with just the raw ingredients as you're putting them in the pan. And then we go from raw ingredients to the beef in there. And then it shows her cooking, it cooking, doesn't actually show her. And then it shows the finished product, which looks very much like a Sloppy Joe.
Yes.
Now, did you partake of this recently? Or
yes, we had sloppy joes, but what Beth did with that delicious sloppy joe mixture, she made nachos. I made my own nachos. She made her own nachos.
I didn't like them.
She did not like them because they were too sweet. One of her ingredients in that sloppy joes is maple syrup instead of brown sugar.
Oh.
So I happened to love it. I thought it was killer good. But Beth does not like sweet, savory stuff. It's either savory or it's sweet. Don't mess with her otherwise.
What's the difference?
I was going to drop the F-bomb, but she was in the room.
What's the difference between sweet and savory?
Well, sweet is, it has a sweet flavor. Savory is spices. Could be peppers, could be basil, oregano, rosemary. That's savory.
That's savory.
When you use,
got it.
Yes, when you use herbs.
Now, do you have that recipe in front of you?
I do not.
The sloppy Joe recipe?
No, Beth has it. She put it away.
She sent that to me.
Yeah, yeah. You've got it. She sent it, the recipe, but. If you do like a little sweetness in your sloppy joes, cut the portion in half.
What?
That she puts in. And if she says that she put in maple syrup, then, and you want to substitute brown sugar or regular sugar, I would recommend brown sugar if you're going to use it. Just use half of it. And then you won't get such a dominant sweetness, which I liked. I thought it was absolutely spectacular. And now we took the leftover sloppy joe mix and portioned it out and put it in the freezer. So next week, one day, since we have to slow down going to the grocery store all the time because of the social distancing, we will have sloppy joes, and we'll take out some mixture, sloppy joes mixture, and probably have that with she just bought some potatoes, so we'll take some potatoes and either chop them up and fry them or in cubes, and she bakes them in the oven in chunks with olive oil, salt, pepper, garlic, parmesan on the potatoes, and she'll roast them for about 45 to 55 minutes. And that's how we like to eat the spuds when we get them, if we're not doing mashies.
Mashies?
Mashies, yeah. Or you can do potato salad with sloppy joes, which is absolutely spectacular.
That is kind of a summer thing, right?
Yes, it is. But it is
what's really good at the end is when you kind of mix it together.
Yeah.
You got the gurry from the right?
You're in the front row, baby. Yes, sir.
You got the leftovers from the sloppy joe. You got a little bit of potato salad. Smearing it all over the place. It's awesome.
Yeah, and all over your face.
Now, I think, if I'm not mistaken, if you go to the All Marine Radio website, you're going to see – hold on before I say something that I – before I write a check I can't cash – You're gonna see Miss B's Sloppy Joe's recipe, and you'll see the four pictures up there. All you gotta do is click on the read more, and you'll see the four pictures. I've turned into one picture. It's four quadrants, and then below that you'll see Miss B's her recipe. So I'm gonna read the recipe, and then you're gonna talk about it. Okay. So best Sloppy Joe's from scratch.
Yes.
or ground turkey or ground chicken. So if you want to substitute turkey or chicken, feel free. 2 pounds browned ground beef drained, 3 to 4 fresh tomatoes, blanched, chopped. What's blanched mean?
Okay, you take a tomato, you have a saucepan with boiling water.
Yeah.
You drop the tomatoes in there for about 30 seconds.
Yes.
Maybe a minute.
Yes.
Then you pull them out and the skins peel.
Oh.
And you take those skins because they're bitter, even though most of us would never know. But you just peel the skins off. Then what she does is she takes the tomato on a cutting board and she'll chop it up, and then she puts it on a strainer over a bowl. And she gets all the seeds out, and all the liquid goes through the strainer into the bowl. And she'll chop the tomatoes so they have no seeds, and then she'll throw them in with the ground beef.
Got it.
And then –
wait a minute. I'm not done. I just asked what a blanched tomato was, okay, there? You need to fucking relax. 1 large onion, 2 celery stalks minced, 1 green bell pepper diced small, 4 cloves of garlic, 2 tablespoons of chili powder, 1 cup no salt ketchup. Why no salt ketchup?
Because of me. I thought eat as little salt as possible.
Okay, so for the rest of you,
add the salt.
Right. 2 tables. What's TB? Yellow mustard.
Tablespoon.
All right, 2 tablespoons. 1 teaspoon paprika, 1 tablespoon vinegar, 1/4 to 1/2 cup of maple syrup, 1 cup chicken broth or water. Simmer 3 hours till liquid evaporates and ground beef breaks down. Okay, the stage is yours.
Now, what I was going to do after we added those chopped tomatoes to the hamburgers,
right?
You also add that liquid that was in the bottom of the bowl.
Oh, that, you save that. You don't shit can it.
No, you don't chuck it. You throw it in because that helps that will also cook out as the burger breaks down. And it just makes it a better sloppy Joe.
I love sloppy Joe, just so you know.
Oh, you and me both. Yeah. We both grew up eating them.
I did. Kathleen didn't. She wasn't a sloppy Joe kind of girl. She made her own. No, remember those sandwiches I told you about? She made her own.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I mean ghetto-ass sloppy Joe. I mean, right out of the pack, like ground beef, dumped the seasoning in it.
Lowry seasoning packet. Yep.
I always love that and French fries and ketchup, right? And something cold and carbonated, just ghetto ass, sloppy Joe's. But I loved it. I love the tomato-y. I mean, it even colors. Kim and I judged a chili contest once, and I like tomato-y chili. Now, I know that's not – tomatoes aren't part of many, like, chili competition. I was like, this is bullshit competition, man. How can you not have a tomato in a chili competition? Oh, you don't understand the rules of chili. Like, yeah, I don't. I'm fucking out of here.
I didn't say that to you.
No, I did. Other people did. Remember when we went down to judge it? There was all these fucking rules. Kim and I go down there, and you can tell we're rather loosely constructed, and we're going to go down there and have a good time. Oh, and the chili the chili Nazi shows up. Yeah.
Oh, and I even brought a bottle of tequila down there to judge the chili. You got to be fortified for Christ's sake.
She was not impressed. Right?
No.
And, No, and she was
the
like,
Nazi was not impressed.
She was an asshole. And so we're having a good time, and then then the real serious chili people show up. We're like, what's going on here? I know exactly. So, but we shut up, and we didn't want to ruin anybody's good time and all the rest of that bullshit. So,
Let me tell you folks a little sidebar here. When you're cooking chili, you cook chili in a freaking cast iron pot.
Right.
Because it's thick, distributes the heat, and holds the heat. Or a stainless steel kettle that has at least a quarter of an inch aluminum bottom to distribute the heat and keep the chili from burning. And you stir it all the effing time. Now, the time Mac and I were there, there must have been 16, 18 entries into this competition. And we're walking around, and I don't even need to taste the stuff. I can smell chili when it's fucking burnt.
Oh, my God, it was awful.
You talk about the burnt aluminum. And they use an aluminum pan that is just as thin on the bottom as it is on the side. And they just throw everything in there, and they're drinking and carrying on and talking.
They very seldom
stir it.
It is North Dakota, right? So the primary purpose of all this is to drink.
Yeah, unfortunately. But that's okay. It's okay because I brought my tequila, so I was in the front row.
Yeah, well, you almost got a little bit sanctimonious there, and you were the one that showed up with tequila.
Yeah, no, I wasn't being sanctimonious. I'm just saying, the thing is, cook your chili in the proper pot, but they judge them, and it was a blind judge, and we wouldn't know who'd cook it. All I'd have to do is smell the chili to tell you whether it was burnt or not from cooking in one of those aluminum, very thin bottom pans. And I would pretend to take a little bite and then pass it on and then set it down. And of course they got, I think very seldom did I give below a 4 out of 10.
Well, you have to understand. Right. Kim, right, is somebody. Okay. And because he's somebody, if he says your chili is a 0, he could hurt somebody's feelings. And even worse, maybe lose a customer. Right.
Then more importantly, lose a customer.
Exactly.
So, you know.
So the first rule.
You're on to me.
So the first rule when you're a big timer is, first, do no harm to your revenue stream, okay?
and that's how I judge. But I judge that competition every year they had it. And, 6 or 7, 8 years in a row. Even the guy who does the Bush Bean commercial was there for 2 years. And we sat beside each other and chatted. He was very enjoyable. But when you burn something, what can you say, man?
Nothing, right? Nothing. And they stand there.
I keep my mouth shut and give it a low score. And they're all – I don't know whose chili it is. I do because I smell it. But I smell the one. You walk around and talk to each team and converse and how they made it and what they, any secret ingredient they'd be willing to share. And, of course, they never tell us.
Oh, no. Are you kidding me? This is a very, very, this is a family recipe. Right.
Yeah.
A family recipe.
Yeah.
It's just like they're when after deer season, right? It's blood sausage. And you're like, hey, I'm going to bring, I'm like, don't stop by my house with that shit. Okay. Cause if I cook it, it's going to stink up the whole block. And you
yes,
think,
it will.
Oh my God!
Yes, it does.
And you think it would? You think you violated, you know, some sort of family sacred burial ground? What? This is my grandfather's recipe. I know it is, and God bless him. But don't bring that shit to my house. They would get pissed. They would get pissed. They would get pissed.
Oh God!
Now, let me tell you what they would. We did this on the air. And, you know,
yes.
I used to talk about how much in the land of fishing and hunting, I would talk about how much I hated fishing, how I thought fishing was for morons. Oh, my God. And they would snap. But we would talk about eating. What do they call it? Shore lunch?
Shore lunch. Shore lunch.
And let me tell you the recipes for shore lunch. Right.
Yep.
Awesome. So I was a shore.
They are.
I was a shore lunch guy, but in terms of, you know, my grandfather's blood, yeah, you just keep that shit to yourself, bro. And everybody wanted to share it. Explain to everybody what shore lunch is in eastern North Dakota and northwest Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Right, they don't. If you say that shit, you know what they say? We don't talk like that.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, we don't talk
like that.
And they can make fun of California till the cows come home. But I'll tell you what, if you start making fun of them and use that movie Fargo, they get fucking pissed. They get strict.
Oh, I love bringing up Fargo. When somebody cops the attitude about an accent or something. I guess, you betcha.
they're like, we're
you
not.
You betcha, yay.
We're
yay.
Not. We're not like. We're not like that. They made us look like we're all stupid. But I'm like, well.
Yeah.
I said, thou,
if the shoe fits.
thou protest too much. My point was like, oh, but it's okay to make fun of everything that has anything to do with California. But when it gets pointed in your direction, and they would get pissed, right? They would get pissed because they're the least populated state in the country.
We'd be laughing so hard, you and I would just go ahead.
Oh my God! Let me just tell you,
Hey,
hold on. North Dakotans were so relieved that they had a case of coronavirus, right? Before West Virginia, right? Like, oh, thank God. Thank God. We don't want to be with West Virginia again.
Oh, goodness, that's great.
I know. Let me tell you. When you live in like, I think it's the least populous state in the nation, I mean, there are some issues that come with it, right?
Wyoming, I think, has fewer people.
Fewer people?
But, yeah.
Let's find out.
It's serious issues.
Yeah, they've got them. They don't like it when you make that Fargo. Least populated state. Survey says Wyoming. Very good, Kim. Ranking of states by population. Number one is California. 39 million. Number two is Texas, 27 million. Number three is Florida. Number four is New York. Number five is Illinois. Number six is Pennsylvania. Number seven is Ohio. Number eight is Georgia. Number nine, North Carolina. Number 10 is Michigan. All right. Now, starting from the bottom, Wyoming, 586,000 people in Wyoming.
Yep.
Vermont, 626,000. Alaska, Alaska has 738,000 people, and North Dakota all the way up to 47th, 700 Whoa. And yeah, who fucking knew?
God, we're 47 with a bullet.
Exactly. Boom, bitches, 47.
Yeah.
Stick it up your ass.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Who knew?
And then
we have a population boom.
And then South Dakota is right in front of North Dakota, those fucking South Dakotans. Then Delaware, Montana, Rhode Island, Maine, New Hampshire, Hawaii. Those are the bottom 10. So there you go, the top 10.
Okay.
and the bottom 10. I thought North Dakota was the least populated state. It's Wyoming, which is Wyoming, absolutely gorgeous state with nobody living
there. Oh, is it ever?
Yeah, you don't
it's so beautiful.
You don't even have to social distance in Wyoming.
North Dakota, pretty much.
It's just distance. It's just there, folks. It's just there.
I used to tell people who were coming to visit, oh, you just go west till you hit 29 and take a right.
There you go. You'll find us.
No turns, no curves, no secret ways to get to Grand Forks. It's, you know, all turns are right or left.
Well, conversely,
that's all they are.
New York City, you know what the secret ingredient? The secret ingredient of their coronavirus is the subway.
Yeah, I believe that.
You know, the perfect incubator. Everybody's down there, closed places, metal surfaces, everybody touching the same surface. So before they can get their hands, what's the difference between New York City and every other city? And that is the maturity and the use of their mass transit system, which is a perfect incubator, which has a – so there's a lesson the next time anything like this ever happens, and that would be, hey – this is going to suck, but we got to shut the subway down right now. And that brings Manhattan to – I mean, what the fuck would traffic be like in Manhattan without the subway? It can't function.
I couldn't get around.
Oh, I don't know how anybody could. I mean,
I either took the subway or I walked. I never took a bus or a taxi. But the subway was great. It went everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, you look at it, it's a perfect incubator for a virus.
You're right. It's the prime incubator for the virus, for God's sakes.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, New York City. But, you know, it seems to be. You know, when you watch different doctors on, they talk about, you know, first of all, the mortality rate in the United States is close to South Korea's, which is a good thing. And I would be curious why such a difference in mortality rate between the United States and South Korea and, you know, Italy, an advanced Western nation. It's so above, you know, at 10%. Italy, and then Iran is up 8-9%, and then China's at 4%. Why the difference between the South Korean and the American mortality rate and everybody else? I'd be curious to know about that. So,
I think they jumped on the social distancing first.
Yeah, but that's the mortality rate is okay. You've got it. How many people die? Yeah. So why are more people dying in Italy than are dying elsewhere? I don't know.
Italy, Spain now. Spain has jumped right up to the front row.
But again, mortality, not cases, though, mortality. And so to me, you know what I'm saying? There's a big difference between, you know, people have it and people die from it. And so, So anyway, that's what's caught my eye. Why the delta? Why the difference between?
Good question. I don't know.
Yeah. That's why I moved to Wyoming. You'll be safer than shit out there. Here's an email for you. Mac, I have a question about all this healthy eating. Can I actually consume more food if I eat like this? Kim?
absolutely not. Unless you're like Mac and you are an exercise junkie. Then you can eat as much as you want. You look at a pro athlete at their training tables during training camp of the amount of food they consume. Well, they need that food to fuel their bodies.
Right.
But I couldn't do it. You'd have to exercise 6 hours a day. But then, go ahead. Eat away.
Well, if you're eating, right, marinara sauce over a vegetable, I mean, there's less vegetable. Not that there's a whole lot of calories in pasta. I mean, right? So when I say pasta,
carbs. It is carbs.
Right. So you're talking about something different. So, I mean, probably, yeah, but certainly healthier than ingesting, you know, wheat.
Yes, it is.
Lower in calories. But I'm curious to do, I'll season the cauliflower a little bit, and then I'll report back to you.
But I can't wait and bake it this time.
Bake it.
Okay.
You know what bake I have? I have a bit of a problem because I think I use too much olive oil. And I use too
much. That's why you mix it in a bowl and you start with like maybe a whole head of cauliflower and no more than
a tablespoon
of olive oil.
Do you bake it on the parchment paper?
Yes, on a sheet pan, like a cookie sheet. You put the foil or parchment paper down. Then after you've tossed everything and don't forget to add some grated Parmesan cheese. That gives a great flavor. And your salt and pepper, of course, and any other herb and garlic. Don't forget the garlic. But toss it in a bowl. And then spread it out on the parchment paper evenly. You don't just pile it in the middle. You spread it all over.
Got it. Got it. You know what? You want to know my problem? I would dump the I did cauliflower and broccoli. Yeah. And I poured some olive oil over the vegetables. And then I tossed it. And then I seasoned it. And then I baked it in that Pyrex pan, and it had too much olive oil in it.
Yeah. 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 You start out with a little bit of olive oil because when it heats up, it'll thin and spread out. And if you put too much olive oil, you'll just have a big pool, which you had in the end of that Pyrex. And you don't mix it in the Pyrex, you mix it in a stainless bowl or a plastic bowl, and then you spread it over the baking sheet and the parchment paper. It's two steps there. Okay?
Okay. You know who I'm becoming a fan of?
Who?
The MyPillow guy. Let me tell you Let me tell you
He's from Minnesota.
Yeah. He's making masks now. I saw him on the news today.
Good for him.
What's his name? Mike Lindell, right?
Yeah.
So he was an alcoholic and a drug addict, right?
Yes, he was.
In the 1980s and 90s, Lindell became addicted to cocaine, crack cocaine, and alcohol. His addiction loomed so large that his house would be foreclosed and his wife filed for divorce. Lindell stated that he achieved sobriety through prayer in 2009. And since then, he's been clean. Now, the first thing that caught my eye about him and his MyPillow commercials was the fact that he wears a cross, right, outside of his shirt in his commercials.
Yeah.
Now, can you name for me one other person that's endorsing a product that does that?
I can't.
I can't either. So I love that, you know, again, I don't care if it would be a Star of David or look, this is who I am. This is what I am. This is what I believe in. And if you don't like it, piss off, right?
Take a hike. Yeah.
Right? This is what I believe.
You know, Mac, you know, I just read in the paper today.
Yeah.
Who else makes the mask, the shields?
Who?
Bauer Hockey Equipment.
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's, you know, he's in the news today because, you know, he set his people to making masks or shields, whatever he's making. I think he's making shields, which is the plastic piece and whatnot.
Yes.
And so so it's interesting. I saw an article about, you know, the president's war powers thing. And you know, they said, look, you have so many companies rushing to make this stuff. The president's not having to compel somebody. What the private sector is looking for are people that make something close to this that won't have to convert much production capacity to it, because if you're going to do it that way, that's not easy to do. So the best solution, the optimum solution, is let the private sector, right, target those you know, find those people that are already producing something close to it, and then convert a marginal piece of that business. Make sure you get the supplies to them right away, and they can produce it the fastest. Which I thought was pretty. I thought that was like spot
that
on.
That is cool.
Yeah, but so I saw him on. So you know what? I'm probably going to buy a MyPillow because I like that guy. I just like his story. I like he's not a perfect dude, but he kept swinging. He turned his life around. He's born in Mankato, Minnesota, raised in Chaska and Carver, Minnesota. And anyway, but he's a interesting guy. Now he's got a multi-million-dollar business in his MyPillow business. And he's now making masks. So good on him. Good on him.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Very cool stuff. No, there's a lot of people, as always, you know, and I say this, and that, you know, the stuff we see on the news on a nightly basis, that's not the United, that's not our country. That is the craziest shit that people can put on TV so that we'll click on it or watch it so they can use it for ratings and increase the amount of money they charge advertisers. That's what that is. If you look at what happens in this country when people need help, right, and you look at the vast majority of Americans this week, right, and in the last couple weeks, what have they done? They've gone home. They've homeschooled their kids. And they've waited, you know, to see what's going to happen. And they've helped other people on their block, in their community, you know, all the things that make this country what it is. And you see it when somebody yells for help, and then you watch and read about different stories that happen around the country. So it's cool. And it's really cool that, like you said, Bauer, I saw that the hospitals in Seattle put out a call. If you so, could you help us make these things? Right. And that is, you know, they were looking for surgical gowns and they were looking for masks to be made. And they had an overwhelming response. And then they said, OK, we don't need any more. We're good. They made it themselves, which I love. So I just, you know, cool stuff going on around the country. And So anyway, but yeah, no sports, man. Really, really makes this thing tough to
have. That hurts.
And Kim, you know, there's people that are involved in the TV business that are thinking if we could put anything on TV, anything, do you know what our ratings are going to be? You know how much money we'll make off this shit? And all we need a gym with, you know, 20 guys that want to play, and then Vegas can lay odds on it and the whole country's going to watch it. Right? But we can't find
nothing them. Like that.
We can't get it done.
No, they can't.
So yeah, so you know, there's TV people going, "Oh my God, this is a TV dream come true."
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Why? And I keep getting different emails from people, different companies, like Southern California Edison, helping you get through the coronavirus. Are you going to tell me I don't have to pay my bill this month? No. Okay, but
I read yesterday
we're here to help.
Where the Cheesecake Factory refused to pay their rent.
Yeah, I saw that nationally, right?
Yeah,
Cheesecake, and I love Cheesecake.
Oh God, come and get us, MF-er.
Yeah, Cheesecake's one of my favorites. One of my Cheesecake with strawberry.
Beth's coconut strawberry cheesecake
with some kind of fruit. It doesn't always have to be strawberry. It could be raspberry, boysenberry, blueberry, and some sauce made out of the some puree made out of the fruit. To me, with a thick graham cracker crust, and I like it a little bit more creamier than I do chunky cheesecake. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
See, you have to be. If you don't understand what I just said, then don't worry about it because you're not a cheesecake person.
No.
Yeah.
Junior's Cheesecake, creamiest, best cheesecake in the country.
Where?
Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn. Junior's Cheesecake. Do you order it by rail or how do you get it?
Yes, you can order it they ship it to you.
Here's another email question. Hey, Mac, I want to change gears and talk about a dessert, if you don't mind. Does the chef have a simple dessert that we can make? I recall you talking about throwing together yogurt with Cool Whip in a graham cracker or Oreo crust. I actually made that, Mac. And like everybody else, I don't want to really give you too much credit because of your immodest nature. What does that mean? What does immodest nature mean? Was that an insult?
One might think so.
But with fruit, it was actually quite good. Does the chef have anything like that? Yeah, so there's a challenge. Can you match my and so here's the recipe. It's a vat of Cool Whip, right? So this is a ghetto recipe. So you take that and you dump it in a bowl, and then you take just whatever your favorite yogurt is. And so you take that and whatever, peach, strawberry, raspberry, whatever the hell it is, and you dump it in, and then you just mix it all together. And then you just take a spatula and you dump that into a pre-made graham cracker or Oreo crust.
Pie crust.
Yeah, and then you put that in the oven. And then you let it firm up a little bit for a few hours, and then you slice some fresh fruit.
Put it in the refrigerator, not the oven.
Exactly. Oops. Yeah, don't make that mistake. You put it in the refrigerator, and you put some fresh fruit on it, and people think you're like a fucking cook. And you take that.
You will be in the front row.
Oh, my God.
Now, my addition to yours is a dessert I learned from Mama Lola. Macedonia, mixed fruit. Now, she would take all the fruits she could get her hands on, plums, peaches, berries, all that, everything, apples, it didn't matter. But she would, in a bowl, she would take a cup of red wine.
Oh.
At least a tablespoon, a heaping tablespoon of sugar. And then she would whisk that until the sugar dissolved. And then she would take the fruit and dump it in the bowl and mix it all together. And she would serve that with whipped cream on it. Or zabayon.
Oh.
Now, zabayon, it's egg yolks that have been beaten over a double boiler. And sugar added to that halfway through. You start out with half the sugar, we'll take a dozen egg yolks, or six egg yolks. A dozen would be too much. Six egg yolks, 2 tablespoons of sugar. You dump 1 tablespoon, put it with the yolks, and start whipping it over a double boiler. And it'll start to turn pale yellow and start to thicken a little bit because of the heat from the water below. But you don't want the bottom of your upper boiler touching the water. You just want the heat to touch it. And about halfway through, about 10 minutes, then you add the other sugar and you keep whipping that. And then it'll become frothy and then stick to your whisk. That's called zabayon. Now,
that sounds, I have to tell you, it's too complicated. It's something supposed to be easy, man.
Just take whipped cream then. Take Cool Whip. What the fuck?
I don't want to be complicated. Don't get pissed. I'm just saying.
I'm not pissed.
When I hear you get when I hear the fucking whisk coming out, I'm like, okay, you just went to like into the 8 foot into the pool, and I'm only good to 6. Okay, get the whisk out. I'm like, all right, you're talking chef shit right now. I'm fucking out.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that's cool. But yeah, it's what you. But you can try it. You can use a fork to mix your sugar and wine, and dissolve that instead of a whisk, to make it simpler for you. But mix the fruit in with it. And then fill it. Then you can mix it with your Cool Whip or Ready Whip or whatever you want. And then, or you can make some pudding, vanilla pudding, any kind of pudding you want, and mix that with the fruit and put it in the fridge and refrigerate it. And there you go. And then you have a fruit pie.
There you go.
All yummy, right. Yummy.
All right. What haven't I asked you today that this broadcast would not be complete without? What haven't I?
Well, there's. I did see on demand Ford versus Ferrari. The story of Carroll Shelby,
right,
who was approached by Ford to build a car to beat Ferrari in the 24 Hours of Le Mans, starred Matt Damon, and man, it was great. I recommend that movie.
All right.
Very good.
And you watched it on demand?
Yeah. And, you know, on your TV, it comes up and it costs you $5 to watch the movie. And you don't have all the movies that are in the movie house within 3 to 6 months are on demand, and save yourself $15-$20. Make your own popcorn, open your own soda, and there you are in the front row. And you eliminate, we can't go into theaters anymore anyway. So
is that a documentary that we're talking about?
Not a documentary. It's just it was a movie for the big screen, and
I mean, it's a movie for the big screen.
On demand.
Well, it's got to be a documentary. Are there actors in it and shit?
Yeah, it's a movie. It's Matt Damon's the star.
Oh, okay. So, all right. So it is a movie.
And the guy who races the car for him is a real good actor. He was in a fighting movie with Mark Wahlberg. An English actor.
No idea.
I don't either. I don't remember. But anyway, I enjoyed it. Beth enjoyed it a lot. But that's right. It.
That's it.
Any movies we see on demand.
On demand. All right. All right, sir. Well, first of all, it's a pleasure to hang out with you for about an hour today, and we appreciate all your wise and sage advice. And thank you.
It's so much fun for me, Mac. I hope you enjoy it as much as I do.
Oh, come on! Are you kidding me? Thank you.
You take care, everyone.
There you go.
Stay safe. And
good luck.
Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, keep your head down.
And just enjoy life.
There you go. There you go.
Life's a garden, baby. Dig it.
There you go. The one and only Kim Holmes here on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio. So there you have it. Christian Bale. There you go. That's who was in the movie. Ohio man at the ready as he self-quarantines. All right, that'll do it on a Friday. If you're just listening, the first part of the show, I talk about trying to create a framework to analyze the course that General Berger has kind of set the Marine Corps on. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing for the Marine Corps? And a lot of people think it's a bad thing. And wonder what's going to happen. And there's people that think it's a good thing. So how do you evaluate it? So trying to construct a framework for evaluation. So, and then bring on smart people to fill in the blanks. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? So trying to do that. The framework, though. What is it? How do you evaluate it? So, so have a great weekend as you social distance yourself. And as always, don't be afraid to change somebody's life. The part of getting through it is making sure you help people. And I don't think the duress is here yet. This is just me. Because, you know, most people haven't missed, if they've missed a paycheck yet, it hasn't really happened. They didn't miss it before the 15th. So this coming paycheck will be the first time, and that's when duress tends to hit. So, you know, don't be afraid to help somebody. Don't be afraid to volunteer. Don't be afraid to donate. Because there's going to be a lot of people that, you know, what do? And I'll tell you the real question is, like I said earlier, I've gotten emails from Southern California Gas Company. I've gotten emails from Southern California Edison, right? All telling me coronavirus updates. But none of them are saying you don't have to pay your bill. Your landlord telling you that you don't have to pay your bill? Well, I own my house, Max. So your bank telling you don't have to pay your mortgage this month? Not too many people have got that one. Right? So what happens when, you know, Kim just mentioned the Cheesecake Factory saying we're not paying rent this month. Hello. So, yeah. And then how long till this, you know, this drama that we're watching unfold in Washington, D.C., how long till that money actually appears in people's accounts? And how much good does that do for a family with three kids that is now out of work, has zero income, no money saved, and living paycheck to paycheck? Where do they get their food? So, you know, this is just my prediction, but, you know, things that you can do, you know, donate some items to your local food bank, because that's where they're going to go first. First thing they're going to do is inform their landlord that they won't be paying rent this month. And I think in most counties they've already said that we're not going to allow people to be evicted. You know, but you haven't heard landlords come out and say, you know what, you know, I've spoken to my bank and I don't, you know, we're going to figure out a way to get through your rent, but for the next 30 days I'm not collecting rent. I haven't seen that one on TV yet. And that, for most people, is their largest living expense. So, so after they tell after they go no pay due, and they, you know, they tell their landlord they're not making rent this month, keeping what few dollars they have, where are they going next? They're going to a food bank. So don't be afraid to buy a few extra items and go by your local food bank and help them out. Because that's going to be needed. So, anyway, you are your brother's keeper. We all know that. More of All Marine Radio Monday. Tom Hamas, TX Hamas, doctor type, teaches at National Defense University, has long written about humanitarian assistance. Operations relative to the military and future warfare. So he'll join us to talk about, give his thoughts on General Berger's moves with the Marine Corps. Grant Newsham will join us next week, and also Jack Riley will join us next week. So interesting kind of potpourri, talking about the Commandant's plan, talking about the Chinese, how they've handled this. Talk to Grant about how the seeming split between different diplomats, right, as kind of told in our media. You know, one telling, you know, tweeting out that America needs to tell the truth about its athletes that went to Wuhan last October, members of the United States Army that probably brought the virus to Wuhan. And then another one saying to assign blame is crazy. So we'll get Grant's thoughts on that. And he's written a piece kind of speculating, are the Chinese taking notes on this? That if you were ever going to attack somebody, right, during some kind of pandemic, probably would not be in terms of timing, probably wouldn't be a bad time to do it. So anyway, we'll hear from Grant, and then Jack Riley talking about being part of a quick reaction force known in Vietnam as Sparrowhawks. Jack Riley, one of my favorites. So I'll get to hang out with him. So looking forward to that. So have a great weekend. Don't be afraid to do something good and help somebody. And in the first hour, you're going to hear me talking about General Berger and the direction of the Marine Corps and trying to create a framework to analyze these things. How do you evaluate what he's proposed? Right? If it's good or if it's bad. And I mean, the easy thing is to give an opinion. The hard thing to do is kind of step back, broaden the lens, and say, okay, what's all involved in this decision? And so you'll hear me talk about trying to create exactly that. So have a great weekend on a Friday. All Marine Radio over and out.